is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Who watches over those in power? Who ensures that our tax money is appropriately spent and that leaders are accountable to the public? The answer to that question forever in our republic has been journalists. That's who makes sure that public officials do what they're supposed to do and who calls them out when they don't. But as money for journalism becomes harder to come by, so too have our journalists. And that means we have fewer watchdogs than we used to. It also means that the resources for the journalists that we have left are, well, a bit more meager than what used to exist. For decades, for instance, the city's large daily newspapers and lots of other smaller newspapers had press offices at City Hall, where reporters could do their work close by to members of the city council and to the mayor. There are really legendary stories, of course, about the things that have happened in and around those offices, and stories that emerged specifically because journalists were right there in City Hall watching what our elected officials do. But the Detroit Free Press has now decided to move out of City Hall altogether to save money. It's one more retreat in the diminishing narrative of the press in our city and all around the country. My old friend Mike Elric, who works at the Detroit Free Press, wants the city to do something about this. He recently wrote an article asking city officials to open a new press room in City Hall near the mayor's office on the 11th floor or near the city council on the 13th floor. Either way, it would help journalists be more effective in holding political actors to account. To talk about the change that's happening with the Free Press and his idea to counter it, we've got Mike with us. He is a Pulitzer Prize and Emmy-winning investigative reporter. He's also host of ML Soul of Detroit podcast. Mike, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Stephen, it's great to be with you. And we've been in City Hall with a press room since Joe Biden was 10 years old and playing stickball in Scranton, Pennsylvania, probably with a ball of rags because they hadn't invented the baseball yet.
Now
we're getting ready to move. It's not really a matter of cost. And, you know, obviously we'd like to save some money. But the real issue is for the past 13 years, we've been exiled in the basement.
I was going to say, they put you out of where we used to be City Hall, and it's been in the basement. That was a snub, I felt, to open this, and this is a further move away from accountability.
Absolutely, and I remember when I first started covering the mayor and city council back in 2000, Quinn Kleinfelter would prepare some of his stuff from WDET's offices on the 11th floor of City Hall. This was a standard place for reporters to congregate. We would meet sources, we'd review documents, we would have newsmakers drop by, and we also saw the comings and goings on the mayor's floor. You'd see city council leaders coming in, you'd see department heads, and when there was trouble, it was almost like the reverse of when you saw animals fleeing from the forest because they detected danger. You would see department heads and key administration officials run into the mayor's office, and that gave us a real sense of what was going on in city government, because these are not the things that city government tends to announce, but these are the only things people know about because we are eyewitnesses, and we've been blindfolded in the basement for the last 13 years, but it's time for us to be restored to our rightful place.
Yeah. So you're recommending that City Hall keep this space open in the building for journalists. How would that work?
Very simply. All they need to do is give us a little room. We'll decorate it. We'll occupy it. It's that simple. The U.S. District Courthouse, where you could argue there's a lot less need for reporters because there aren't that many cases that are of considerable public interest, has a large, well-appointed press room available. This is standard operating procedure in government buildings throughout America, throughout the world. And for us to have a government, to have city council members who have been in trouble on a regular basis, to have mayors who have been in trouble, not give us a place where we can keep an eye on things. Watchdogs can't do their jobs when they're locked in the basement. It's time for us to be on the front step.
Yeah. What do you think is the likelihood that city council or the mayor might actually do something like this? Are they open to the idea that, hey, this matters and this matters for openness? We don't use the word openness an awful lot with city government in the city of Detroit.
Well, city government does. They're always talking about transparency. Well, here's an opportunity, a gift-wrapped opportunity to put your money where your mouth is. But the answer is twofold, Stephen. The today, the chance is 0%. But if we come together and we speak with one voice and we make it clear that we think this is important, that this will help restore our trust in government, that if public officials prove they have nothing to hide by saying, come and take a look, I think it can happen. And I'm circulating a letter among leaders of the Detroit news community. I should say the news community in Detroit, because at the Free Press, we don't like to put the words Detroit and news right next to each other too often.
Always careful about
that. But I think if we all come together and are heard, there is a chance that they will create a space for us, because this is something that's important. And it's important for city leaders too. When people say, you know, what are you guys doing? What are you working on? When we're there, we tell stories. When we were on the 11th floor, the mayor's floor, it was not uncommon for reporters to churn out half a dozen stories a day. Mm-hmm. Well, now when you basically make people unwelcome in your house, they don't want to come. And when they don't come, they don't tell people what you're doing, even on those occasions when you wish they would help you get the word out.
So I want to talk just a little about how journalism has changed in the city over time. You know, both you and I came up at a time when the bureaus at City Hall and other places were those were prime spots. Everybody wanted to get to those places. We wanted to be those reporters. It's changed an awful lot, partially because of the trouble with funding in the business, but also just because the way people get information has changed so much as well. Talk about how different it is in places like City Hall today than it used to be.
So when you and I started at the Free Press had a bureau in South Africa.
That's right.
We don't even have a bureau in Macomb County anymore, partly because when we started at the Free Press, there were over 300 reporters. Now we have less than 100. The business model for journalism is broken, and we're trying to stitch something together to keep telling the news before we run out of money. But yes, City Hall, that was a prime beat. If you were not going overseas or to the Capitol or Washington, you wanted to be in what we then called the City County Bureau. First of all, it meant that you were you had a great beat, lots of news. It meant that you had a cool office, the 11th floor. I remember looking out my window and watching the CompuWare headquarters coming up. Mm-hmm. So I could see Detroit's resurgence being built right in front of me. But it also meant that if you got on the elevator and the mayor got on the elevator, you could ask the mayor a question. You could run up the stairs. You didn't have to take the elevator. You could run up the stairs two floors to get to city council in 5 minutes if something was happening. This fostered an environment where you had your best and brightest competing to get to City Hall. And when they got there, they were competing hard to get their stories on the front page. The diminution of the number of reporters and basically the exile in the basement has made City Hall less desirable of a posting, but we still are sending our best people there and we're still expecting them to do their best work. We're just trying to take some of those obstacles out of the way. And it's really not to save the Free Press money. It's to try and serve our readers and the people of Detroit as best we can.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people assume that there might be less interest in what goes on in City Hall, and that's what's being reflected in the journalistic kind of retreat from it. But I'll just share a quick experience that I've had with Bridge Detroit, which is a nonprofit news source that I am affiliated with here in the city. One of our reporters there, Malachi Barrett, recently started a weekly newsletter that is just about the issues that really matter to Detroiters that come up at City Council. And the popularity for that is just off the charts. People really do want to know more about what happens down there. That should be as much motivation for the council and the mayor to create a real press room again as anything else.
Malachi Barrett's work for Bridge Detroit is fantastic. If you're not following his city council notebook, it is must-read material. Christine Ferretti at Bridge Detroit, you guys know the importance. You've worked out of City Hall. Malachi's new to town. If we could post this young guy up in City Hall, imagine how much more news he could produce. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's not producing a lot because he's doing a tremendous job. But this is not only a place for him to create a base of operations, but it's a place for people to come see him, to get to know him, to get to know reporters, and to develop some of that familiarity where we can have some of these conversations where we can say, I just want to talk to you about this before it's news, so that we understand each other, so that we take away some of the stigma of there's the hunted and the hunters. Really what this is there's the newsmakers and then there's the news disseminators. This is a symbiotic relationship. But around 2010, it became a dysfunctional relationship, and it's about to end. And I think everybody who hears my voice knows that when we get out of City Hall, we will not be able to get back in. So we have got to find a way to stay.
And we will miss an awful lot of stuff if that happens. Mike Elrich, always great to catch up with you. Thanks for being here with us on Detroit Today.
It's always nice to spend the morning with a Pulitzer Prize winner.
That's right. Same. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to talk with Death, Sex, and Money podcast host Anna Sale about mental health problems plaguing people all across America. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station. Your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.